You're listening to the Family Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Well, listeners, welcome back. We are going to be doing a part two today of an interview that Brian and I are doing with Kevin and Jennifer Gordon. If you have not listened to part one, you're going to want to go back and listen to that, or this, the rest of the story isn't going to make sense. But this is a remarkable couple that went on a journey of just struggling to conceive, longing for children, end up adopting their first. Then they went through in vitro and had an in vitro baby, as they say, and then 7 months later got pregnant naturally. So they had three kiddos, but they did still have eggs frozen and were frozen for many years. And what we're going to continue to learn in this episode today is just the journey of what to do with those little lives that were frozen for 20 years by this point, 20 years in the story, and just the journey that God took them on and their faithful response to what God was calling them to. So I'm excited to continue in our story today. Last time we ended, Jen, with you at a Good Friday service, feeling like God was saying, you are coming to me with a heart that's a little hard and you've been resisting something. And so you released that and said, God, whatever you ask is what we'll do.
Yes. That is right. When I realized I had a no in my heart and thought, oh, that's not the kind of Christian I want to be. That's so he just, going back to the early days when we just put our yes on the table, like, you've changed my heart. All through the desert time that I alluded to earlier, that we would not be where we are now in our faith walk. It was those times, just looking back. You can read about it in the Bible, sure, but this was now personal.
Right, living it.
Yes. So looking back at just how good we know how good he is, but in our own story, how could I say no? Whatever this looks like, I know you've changed my heart before. Yes, Lord. So now it's a different Jennifer, because I am 51, realizing God may be asking us to adopt the baby embryos out or to carry them. And I thought, well, here we go, Lord, whatever you say. And thankfully, I have a husband who is just right on the same page. We know that the Lord's answer and his ways are the best. So, I'm very glad this man's my
husband. And that is a gift.
It is.
Because think about how much harder that would have been if you were feeling this draw. And Kevin's like, are you kidding me? Like you said, Bri, I'm booking us a river.
Viking river cruise.
This is what we do in our 50s.
Europe, here we come.
Yes.
What are you talking about? So that is a beautiful thing that God had readied both of your hearts for this moment.
Yes, at the same time. Yes, he's just... It is a gift.
So then what happens next? So now you're like, call up that doctor again. Hey, you remember us?
Yes.
Yeah. From 20 years ago?
Yeah. Exactly.
We start calling around, even Vegas, like, well, do we do it here in Vegas? And then we said, no, we had the thought of, we want to go back to the original doctor, take Eli with us so they can meet the in vitro baby.
They've seen him under a microscope. Now they can see him as a amazing young man.
Yeah. And we actually found out it was cheaper to go back to California instead of having the embryo shipped to Vegas. So we're like, all right, so let's go back. And so, we started next was, we need to find an OB here in Vegas.
Yes.
Like, is anyone going are we going to be able to find an OB that's going to take a 51, 52-year-old woman pregnant? So we do that, met this man.
Well, we have to ask all the young people at church that are pregnant. We don't know. We don't go to OBs
Are
anymore.
They like, you asking for your daughter?
Yes,
right?
yes.
Yeah. So we meet OB, Dr. Harder, and amazing.
Wow.
Yeah,
right off the bat.
He's like, you're healthy. Why wouldn't we? Let's do it.
I mean, he was. So there was no hesitation from him.
No test to run, nothing. I mean, he did do some tests afterwards, but immediately just looking at her, he's like, yeah, let's do it. When do you want to start? And
Awesome. We just wanted to find out. We can even hold on.
Yeah, pump the brakes. Pump the brakes.
So in this time, it was just a lot of prayer. And what is so crazy? It did not consume my every thought. I love to plan. I love to, 20 years ago, hearing that I was pregnant, I was already, I know what the nursery is going to be like. I know names, And this is a huge thing, a huge weighty thing in our 50s, but that is God's goodness. He didn't let my thoughts wander. A few times I felt like, I always say this old fashioned phrase that I would put the cart before the horse and think, well, what? No kidding. Every time I would start to go there, he would just kindly just
Yeah.
Distract me in something. So the Lord led this whole, now we're on another journey of a faith walk. I guess it has been this whole time, but this is in the 50s decade and not knowing this was going to be a thing. But this whole faith journey, the Lord has been so kind when he didn't have to, because we were so selfish saying, we'll take all the babies. Now we don't want to. He's opened this door and it's just been kindness. Yeah. I learned more about the Lord in the last year and a half. So you know, we just don't outgrow his love or the gospel. And he's showing again his goodness, his mercy, his kindness in this. Like
somewhere in here, we have a good group of friends of about five couples in our church that we're tight with. And, you know, Bible says seek counsel. There's wisdom in seeking counsel. So we're like, let's take those to them and just see what they got. And we had we had a plan. We're going to go over to this person's house for dinner. Had no planning of mentioning this, though we had talked about it. Topic comes up and we spend the next like hour and a half talking about this with our friends. And it was just very apparent that God, it was just affirmation.
So they were supportive of
absolutely. This. You know, one guy even said, like, if you actually had babies, live babies in California, why wouldn't you go get them?
Yeah.
He said, you know, you get them
kind of put in that perspective, like, man, I've never thought about it that
way.
You know, just confirmation again, so good from God, just ways of affirming what we were thinking at that time.
So at this point, do you tell the kids?
Our boys were there in the room. I think we may have told them a little bit, very surface. They're teenage boys.
Right.
And, you know, the thought of babies, they automatically think sex. Well, you don't want to know your parents. And it's not even, you know,
it's not
this
that.
Process,
it's
right? Like, I promise, I can go by myself. If that doesn't. Anyway, so they, at the very beginning, in a very surface, hey, guys, this is what we're thinking God may be asking of us. They were both sweet in saying, no, it's dangerous, Mom. We don't want you to do that. And we said, okay, I love you and I know what you're thinking, but every pregnancy has risks. Yeah, yeah, it could be 20 and it could be dangerous, but this is all a God story. So here you go.
Yeah.
But this time Maya was with us when we were on a Sunday at our friend's house and all the friend, our group was there. Yeah. Maya had come home, I think, for spring break. So she had not heard the full blown story. And we are full blown telling all the details up until now. And all of, I mean, it was quiet in the room until someone talked, like, and it was neat for our kids. We love the fact that they know Christian friends and the community that we have. And I love, that's a gift too, that they're getting brought up to see that. But just, this is such a huge issue. And tears were, like, happy tears were shed. And just such godly counsel in this one afternoon
it was awesome.
It was awesome. So
the kids were on board. They're like, okay.
Yes. Like, wow, this is huge. But this is hopefully going to grow their faith too. Something they'll never forget.
For sure.
Yeah.
So then what, okay, so what month, like this is last year we're talking now that you decide to go through, get the treatments, get your body ready?
Yes. Yeah. But I have to say one little point. The very next day, so that was a Sunday, Monday, I was in Maya's room helping her clean or something. And she doesn't have a lot of words, but she says, so we're just kind of cleaning, a little bit of talking. And she said, okay, I have to back up a little bit. When the in vitro clinic said, yes, we'll take you, the way yours were frozen originally, we can now thaw them all at the same time.
Okay.
So we're thinking, oh, six.
Yeah, right.
Nobody can put in six, like, and especially in your 50s. And that just shocked us for a minute. We didn't follow on till later. We're like, oh, how does this even happen? Do we have to get a surrogate? What does this mean?
I see.
Anyway, so we weren't like shaken, but we were like, well, this is something else God's gonna have to figure out, because
I can't
carry six. I don't even know that I want to carry two. So the very next day that Maya had heard this whole story, she said, Mom, if I can help, I will carry one of the babies. Thinking,
wow,
yeah, like these thawed babies, we got to put them in a womb.
Wow.
And she was 19 at the time. What a selfless thing for her to say. And I just said, whoa, wait a minute. That was,
that was not a thought you had.
But
she's hearing the story of these are lives that need to be.
And she understands they are humans.
Yeah.
We got it.
Yeah.
So I said, well, if God is clear, if he clearly speaks to Dad or I about this and you, we'll go this route. I just can't believe this. Mm-hmm. But by the way, this would be your first book.
Yes, yeah, seriously.
Because you want to be an author, this would be seriously. A story. The wow. adopted daughter carrying her sister or brother. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so from that talk, we yep. were
doing
saying,
all the calls, yep. trying to get the cycles lined up with yep. the clinic okay. and Jennifer's cycle. And then so fast forward, yeah, to summer of 25. So last summer, we were going to go do a transfer in July.
Okay.
All along, just praying, Lord, we're going to get out of the boat. The yes is on the table. We know now that you have yeah. called us because all the prayers and the affirmation and the counsel has been yes, that we feel like the doors blew open. Yes. Every time we came to something like, oh, what do we do about six? It just all, he just had an answer. And yeah. we at that point said, okay, we feel like he's calling us to do this. So we're getting out of the boat. We're going forward. We're going to start scheduling, close the door at any time.
Yeah.
So
there's six
yep.
frozen embryos.
Yes.
Correct.
And you're going into this saying, we're going to just trust that maybe some of them don't make it out of yes. the thawing
yes.
or you like, if there's six viable, what was the answer for that?
Yeah. So what we actually found out is that the clinic can refreeze. So mm-hmm. even okay. if they
yes.
pull three or pull all six and they all make it transfer two in, they can refreeze the
I
four.
See. Yeah. So you so, weren't like thinking, okay, am I ready?
Yeah. We have
right.
to take.
Eventually two, we found know, that yeah. out. But at first okay. it was like, oh no, yeah. do we just wish they don't make it? No,
okay.
yeah.
we don't want right. that, but you can't refreeze beef. How do you right. refreeze bacon?
What are so, we going to do?
So when we finally got the answer,
Eli
like, okay,
had
Lord.
Freezer burn.
Freezer
yeah. What are these babies going to have? Yeah.
Okay, so July.
So we're going yeah. forward. We're taking medicine.
And there was even a few other little hiccups, not to tell oh. everything, but like the OB, we do this check of Jen. Oh, she's got polyps in her uterine oh. lining. Yeah. It's not going to be conducive. Wait, oh, wait, we can remove it. You know, so there was okay. some wow. back and forth okay. of we're trusting you, God, and it's that faith walk and the obedience. And we had... somewhere in here, we had said, God, this is our Abraham Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we having another baby is not, was never our heart's desire
mm-hmm.
to have another one. You know, our plan was right. the three, right? And God, we have three, so we're good. You know, there was that piece. Mm-hmm. And then, but then it started when all this stirring started happening that we've been talking about recently. It was, okay, this is our obedience, not something that we want, but we're going to obey you, mm-hmm. God, because mm-hmm. it's your will, not mine.
Just real quick, Kevin, explain for our listeners who yeah. don't maybe understand the reference, what do you mean yes. by that Abraham
Isaac? Yeah, so Abraham Isaac, Abraham was asked, you know, he and Sarah had been wanting children for years, right?
Lots of years,
she was
decades.
Barren, unable to have a child. And then when she was, what, 100?
90?
Yeah, 90.
She was 90.
Yeah, 90 years old, mm-hmm. she has a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And...
that's
immediately
Isaac.
Though, yeah, Isaac had Isaac immediately. Well, not immediately, because mm-hmm. he. Some people think that Isaac was actually like a teenage mm-hmm. Young man whenever this was asked of Abraham. But God asked Abraham, "You need to go sacrifice."
He told him, yes.
And take your Isaac son. With you because it's yeah, you're going to be sacrificing Isaac. And Abraham
doesn't know. Seem that he skipped a beat.
Yeah,
but right. here he had waited.
Yeah, because immediately he yep. gets some guys, gets Isaac. Hey, let's go.
But we'll be back.
Isaac, what are we doing? We're going to make a sacrifice to God. God will provide. Because, you know, Isaac even asked, where's
yeah,
the sacrifice?
Where's the sacrifice?
Yes.
And Abraham's like, God will provide.
And in the New Testament, it gives us more info that Abraham reasoned that God could raise him from the dead.
Yes. Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Knowing that I might be really yeah, going
right.
through with this.
Have to bet. Could you, yeah.
I just pictured Abraham walking up that yeah. hill. He had yeah. enough faith to say, we will be back. And God yeah. can raise you, you know,
yeah.
but there had to have been a struggle in his mind. Yeah. So to us, it was, we're climbing blindly, just like Abraham yeah. did up this hill in obedience, but not wanting to.
Yeah. And that walk from being asked to Mount Moriah was 3 days. Mm. So for 3 days, Abraham's
yeah, you know, thinking
like okay, I've yes. got to sacrifice
yes.
Isaac.
Yes, yes.
And Isaac's just, okay, Dad, hey, he's going to provide.
Yeah.
No clue. So it's the obedience story
yeah.
or obedience journey really of Abraham. And so we said, well, that's ours. We don't want another baby, but God, you're asking to do this. We're just going to obey.
Whatever.
And yes. we're going to be obedient.
By yeah. the way, in that story, there's more to it. You guys maybe can think about this, or you maybe already have, but yeah. they already had Ishmael.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
And he had Ishmael for like 13
yes.
years.
Yes.
But he and Sarah thought this was the child of the promise.
Right.
I think there's even more to
yes.
this.
For, yes. And it
that mirrors mm-hmm. your story.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They thought this was the
God
guy.
Yeah.
When,
yep.
when God appeared to Abraham and Sarah again and said, okay, I'm ready to deliver on the promise. They're like, what do you, have you met Ishmael?
Right. Did you
like, here he is right here. And he, God was like, no, that was your plan. Yes. This is my plan.
Yes. Yeah,
so many parallels.
Here. Yes.
And somewhere grace. In here too, Proverbs 3:5-6 was brought in. I think we had it on one of the videos, but trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding and all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight.
It's and easy that, to say that verse.
Yeah, it's true.
And so sometimes easy. We think we mean it.
Yeah.
That's true.
Maybe and I'm speaking for myself.
Do not lean on our own understanding. I mean, that was being tested big time. And so now
just
go
with
back.
Our own thoughts.
Right.
Yes. Right. Because
so now we're starting to do all this spin up. July is going to be a transfer. And then literally like 2 or 3 days, we're in California for baseball and 2 or 3 days prior to the transfer, we get, because she has to do an ultrasound, and we get a call from the doctor said, the uterine lining is too thick. We're going to have to postpone the transfer.
Oh, that makes you think, oh, yeah. Maybe this is a no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So emotional,
like we were faithful. Yeah. Right. God, we were faithful, yeah. But now he's going to pull
emotional
back.
Emotional roller coaster, okay. You know.
A little bit right there. Yeah.
And so delay, you got to start some meds again. We've got to clean the uterine out. And then, yeah. So just a process of more meds. And we're getting frustrated because we don't want to do meds. We're,
yeah.
Anyways, so we start to gear up for the next try, which is going to be October. So we gear up, we do that ultrasound. And again, it's kind of last time is too thick, it's too thin. This
really?
Time. And so we look at each other, we're like, Doc, we appreciate you saying that. If God wants this baby to happen, it's going to happen.
Okay.
So we're like, we're going forward.
Okay.
Yes. We appreciate your counsel. We take it into consideration, but we think God is telling us, like, we're going to go forward with this. So we do. Mm. So we go out there, and for the transfer reunion with the people, the doctor is amazing.
So
time.
Sweet.
Yes.
So awesome. That was awesome.
Yeah. Met a terrific, wonderful lady, and who's the embryologist there. Yeah. Amazing lady. Anyways, the doc ultrasound to check her lining, and his first words after looking at the lining that he had said was too thin, you know, about a week prior to this, was like, wow, this urine looks really good. Like
the lining, yeah, is perfect. Yeah,
it's perfect.
Wow.
And so we just kind of like each other and get choked up.
And, yeah.
And then they do the transfer, and 2 or 3 people are in the room, and they're all like, wow, that was best transfer. Or, you know, not
gosh,
best, but that was an amazing.
So wow.
Yeah. So it was just kind of affirmation, yeah. You know, after affirmation. And yeah, so that was October of last year.
Of 25.
Of 25, okay. Yep.
So this is like 3-4 months ago we're talking.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yeah. Very recent, yes.
And then, okay, go home from here, and then 10 days, take a pregnancy test.
And what are the probability? What do they give? Do they give you some numbers?
No, that's good. That's a good question.
I don't have the numbers.
So they transferred two, and so yeah, we never.
We need to explain.
Oh yeah, explain your what happened when they that's unfroze. True.
They thawed all six.
Yeah, thawed all six. One immediately did not survive the thawing process, so down to five.
Okay.
They transferred, or they had set aside two. Were looking really good,
okay.
As they had said it. Three were kind of iffy. So we have to wait like a day or two while we're there. During that time period, two of them don't make it.
Okay.
Like they're not multiplying, dividing. So two more don't make it. So that leaves three. So out of the three, that were looking really good, they're like, okay, we're going to transfer these. Two was the most that they would be willing to transfer.
At my age.
So we knew we were going to do two. So an option for that third one to refreeze, but they were like, we're not sure it's even capable to be refrozen at this time. We'll see. We're going to give it another day. So they transfer the two. We come back to Vegas, and then we get a call from the embryologist a day or two after we're back, and they're like, okay, that third one, it actually is doing better. You have the option to refreeze that.
Okay.
And we're like, God, we said we would. Like, yes, we are not going to be the one that says no. If you are still going to give this, then we will.
Yeah, this baby's in your hands.
We'll save that. So they refroze. Okay. So right now we have one in the freezer. And then we take the pregnancy test. I forget the day, but right around December. No.
It was Halloween.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It's the end of October.
This story just keeps getting better.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Well, it's hilarious because I don't remember is the pregnancy test what your son was going to like tell and reveal in the video.
Yeah, so that's right.
Was he the seventh?
The youngest. Okay. Yeah. So that's so funny. We're like, okay, we got this. This is going to be amazing.
The results are in.
Yes.
Everyone's going to be at the edge of their edge of their seats.
So we have the camera on Ethan. He's going to open up the laptop and tell us the result. And so we're sitting there and he just goes,
I don't know what any of this means.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know. And we're like, no, come on.
We thought it would say pregnant or not. Yeah. Right. There was a whole bunch of other stuff. So to his defense,
it was. But we'll
put a link to that video in the show notes so people can watch that. Because we did watch that. It was pretty funny. Yeah. Kevin, you had to get up and walk over.
And you'd be like, oh, okay. It's HCG or GC? What's the HCG? Okay. Yeah. So you're like, okay, the numbers in the range.
Yes. So I think we're pregnant.
Right.
And what was your feeling in that moment?
No, that's good. And she will even tell you that throughout, you know, about that time and on, like, I've been more excited. I've been the one, and she's just kind of been,
with a face.
Right. Because you have a lot of work ahead of you.
Yes.
Kevin, easy for you to say, buddy.
Pregnancy is hard for guys. Yes. I mean,
it's not just that.
It's a lot for this 20 years ago.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, because this is going back to, you are really starting again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's crazy because to hear the words, you are pregnant, is all we wanted for all 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
Now we're hearing it. I'm going, okay.
So it was no outburst of joy from, you know what I mean? It was maybe more so for me, but it was, I think the reality and just.
You just are feeling like you're not like in La La Land. I think it's important for people to know, like you understand the weight of this decision. And there's parts of you, at least in our conversations, that you can see, like there's a faithful joy to it, but there's also like the reality of starting over, like you said.
Yes. Yeah, that's
so this isn't just easy peasy. These people are just like, whatever. Yes. It's like you guys fully understand
what this
is a journey.
Yeah. This is life changing, right? Yep. I mean,
and I still am not the me that I was 20 years ago. And we found out it's a girl, you know, those like get all excited, which I question myself, like, where is that? And I just, maybe it's older me, I don't know, but it's reserved. It is a beautiful thing. I could have been told instead of you're pregnant, you have, you know, whatever, we found a disease.
Right.
So, and that would have been fine too, because that would have been God's plan.
Yeah.
But it's just very different this time around. It's a good thing. It's just very, it hits different.
How have you experienced other people's reactions to this now that you're pregnant? Now
that's like, actually fun part.
Okay, so like you're 16 weeks. I mean, it's darling, you have just a tiny little bum there.
It is not the tumor.
It's a baby.
How have people responded to this?
It's the facial expressions, which we actually get a kick out of, because
there's many are like, man, that's so good. I'm happy for you. Even some guys are, you know, talking at work, I'm so excited for you. And then there's some like, just the thought of my grandkids coming over, you know, for another beer like that just scares me. So for you guys to be doing this, you know, wow. You know, so you get that, you get the whole spectrum of.
But so many people, they're like, joke? Their faces go through a few contortions of, are they joking? I think she's older. And, but that's the beauty. Cause then we get to say, this is a God story.
It's a God story.
Yeah. This is nothing we would have done. Obviously, we had many years. We could have gone back for these embryos.
Yeah.
And God had his plan.
Wasn't ready until your 50s. Where our heart was. Yeah. When you go in the OB office, are some of like the techs and the people like, oh, you're the patient? Yeah.
You're that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you like known in the community right now?
Well, no one has been rude about it. I did have a friend say, I don't mean this bad for you, but I am so glad that's not me.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I understand.
Yes.
I do. And it's okay. Again, God. But in the clinic, no, they just have a nice poker face, and, you know. But when I do on the phone make an appointment or something and they ask for my birthday, when I say 7/3, I just imagine them going, that's my birth year. I am sure they're going, what?
Yeah.
You're from the 1900s?
What?
Did she say 1973
anyway, so but it's it's actually, we would not have this open door to talk about the Lord and his plan had we done this at 38 39.
Yeah, it wouldn't be as,
it wouldn't have been a
hard
deal
of an ask
right
it is today.
So
because for the rest of the time, I think, so I mean, we trust and pray that God's story is this little life is, yeah. this little girl mm-hmm, is mm-hmm. coming when? When's she due?
The end of June.
End of June.
Yeah. We're still working on first names, but we have to say, because you mentioned
yeah.
it,
yeah.
her middle name will be Moriah, because mm. that's the mountain that
Very cool.
Abraham and Isaac.
Very
and
cool.
Yeah.
Just in total obedience.
Oh, that's
love
so
it.
Cool.
Yeah. yeah. Love it.
So
yeah.
What's the princess from Frozen?
Elsa and
Elsa and Anna. Is, oh my goodness! No. Yes.
There you
oh,
go.
I didn't even catch that.
I don't know. Just a suggestion.
Mariah. We go from Viking cruises. To
yes.
Oh, there's something over there.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
Okay. Oh, so wait. I have to ask. How are the kids feeling? Are they yeah. excited? Are they that's a little funny. Bit reserved? Like, where are they?
A little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
Eli, most excited of the three, I would say.
And checks on me the most.
And makes Aww. Sense because he's got the biggest heart. He yeah. does. He's mm. wanting to look at after mama. He comes home from school, mama, how are you feeling?
Oh, that's yeah. sweet.
And it's awesome. Sweet. Love it. Warms my heart. Ethan is the teenage baseball guy. Huh?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's
yeah.
all you get. Hey, yeah. what do you think, Ethan? Huh?
Except.
That's true.
You say that part. When he said, if it's a boy... Or yeah. whatever.
Or whatever. Yeah. He's going to help that baby be a D1 athlete.
Oh, that's
he said, we're getting yeah. Nike Dunks yeah. for this baby, and it will be a D1 athlete.
And you know what? You got to figure some stats out, but I do feel like that's a thing. Watch the Olympics, and when they pan to the parents,
yeah.
a lot of times I think these athletes, this is the same. Mm. The same is true for like tennis and golf and stuff,
yeah.
is these people who go pro or end up being really good have older parents. And my theory is because you guys have more money now, like you guys yeah. said, you're more mature. You yeah. you guys have you practiced on the other three
yeah.
already.
Yeah, yeah. 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 learned a lot.
Yep, mm-hmm. yep.
So,
that's
funny. Yeah, yeah. I think knows? She's going to be a golfer.
Yeah, yeah.
She might be
a golfer. D1. Yeah, I love it. LPGA, here we come. Yeah, so kind of
so
a
the
spectrum.
Kids, but Maya.
And Maya's kind of like, well, I'm not, her point is, I'm not going to be around.
Yeah.
Like she's almost done with college, yeah. you know, so she's kind of going from the mind frame.
What's this going to be like?
Right. I weird. Don't know how good of a relationship yeah. I'm going to have with my sister. Mm.
And honestly, there's a little bit, and I think this, I know this comes from the adoption part of yep. her heart.
Yeah.
That she said, but I wanted to be the only yep, girl.
I get that.
I can yeah. see yeah. that so much because yeah. obviously she doesn't look like us. We got yes. her from China. And now I can see her thoughts and Satan yeah. saying, they're going to get a girl. It's yeah. going to look a yeah. lot more like them than yeah. you.
Yeah.
So that's actually a big prayer point yeah. of us
her,
right
for
now.
Her, yes. yeah.
So adoption, there's some hard parts yeah, for sure. sure. For sure. But
well, that's kind of wanted to end today was really talking more just about the lessons you've learned, what you've understood about adoption, what you're understanding now, how you would actually counsel couples that are struggling to conceive about in vitro, like just kind of share your wisdom and what God's taught you through this journey.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not a big podcast person, but I have listened to a few on the topic of in vitro because it is such a point of contention right now. And I know just from listening to that, I guess you can walk in as a couple to your OB and say, we've been trying for 6 months and we can't get pregnant in vitro.
Mm-hmm.
And it's become such a big, big dollar business.
Okay.
So it's like, hey, go that route.
It's just a go-to. Yeah.
It is a go-to. However, there is, and we'll probably need to put a link to this. There are some people out there that say there is a natural, you can reset your body. There is a natural way to do this because I've had a lot of progesterone estrogen and other things pumped into me that I love. So I think, the medical world's good at that. Let's push you to the pills.
Yeah.
Let's push you to the procedures.
Yeah.
It's easy to say, I wish we would have known more back then, but at the same time, this was a God story and he led it perfectly. However, now that we know a little bit more about in vitro, I think I would say there is that, and this is our story. However, let's not run through that door real fast because no one told us, we just, again, baby fever, me, we want babies. Look at us. We're 52 and we still have an embryo in the freezer.
Right.
So those things we didn't think about years ago because we said we were going to take them all.
Yeah. I think I would just bring up the awareness of the realization of, hey, you could have, now we've, you could end up with a multitude of embryos at the other side of this. But I mean, at the same time, we've known couples that have done it and they had two embryos.
Yeah.
We had 12. I mean, so just, you need to be aware, you know, I think a lot of people go in with the mindset of, I'm going to get a handful of embryos.
This is going to work. Plant
them in and, I mean, put them in, work or not work, and we're going to be done. That may not be the case.
Right.
And we're a perfect example mm-hmm. of, no, you had 12, you had 9 frozen for...
And you think you know what you want at the beginning.
Right.
And yeah.
Well, I think for you guys, what it sounds like to me, it was, because this is what I feel like I hear from people is kind of how you were just describing it. Like, this is great. There's the scientific method mm-hmm. that kind of mm-hmm. helps
right.
along this journey. And then you just take what you want and then you forget about the rest. That's but if you're really mm-hmm. thinking from a lens of life, life at conception as Christians, that those embryos are lives. Like your friend said all those years ago, God is the one that breathes life into something, whether it's in the womb or in a petri dish. Like, it's not for you guys to decide that life doesn't matter.
Right.
But I think a lot of couples, like to your point, aren't thinking about what comes after you have what you think you want. Yes. And what do you do with these embryos then that are just sitting in there?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And so you realized I was being selfish and not even really thinking about what are we going to do with these remaining embryos.
Yes.
Yep.
And so what would your advice be to couples then? Just think that through. Think 20 years down the road. Think about other options first.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't blindly flat out
ask them, do you believe life starts at conception?
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, I think that's a key point where, I mean, we believe that.
Yes. Yeah.
I think many Christians do.
Okay.
So I think, you know, how they answer that question will kind of factor into how they answer the other questions. So what are you going to do with, if you have 10 frozen, are you willing to have all 10 be a potential baby in your own womb?
And should you choose to genetic test, that is a part of it. You can have those embryos genetically tested and they're not always right.
Yeah. And this is part of the issue, right? Yes, is my understanding is now is. Which with IVF, it's more about like, getting exactly what you want.
Yes.
A girl, a boy.
You want blue eyes? You want blonde hair? Get rid of these. Then here's your blue eye, blonde hair right here.
Yes.
Wow. So that would be a hard topic with a couple who is not walking with the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that'd be tough.
That's an example. I mean, that's an opportunity to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. However, that is where a big problem lies with in vitro. Right. Just get what you want. Discard the rest. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But they do matter. So, when I say I wish we would have known things to ask or had people pour into us, but God took care of it all. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like, well, maybe our story will have even greater impact to somebody who's there, like saying, look at us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have a year and a half before our baby now is out of the house. Not that we're pushing that, but here's the reality because we're starting all over. This could happen. So you need to, if I'm counseling somebody and I'm 52 years old and pregnant, I think it's going to hit him more. Like there are things that you do need to think of. And I think it's knowledge and then that prayer life just can't get past that. So God will open doors. We don't disagree with in vitro. We had said, God allowed that technology to happen. Man has really messed it up.
But the aspects of the genetic testing we don't agree with, we don't. And then
We're taking
giving up for science, we don't believe in that, you know.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And then I was just going to say, so because you kind of mentioned what are the options.
Yes.
I think the options come down to you use it. Do you have a surrogate? You know, the genetic test, the scientific testing, which we say no, but that is an option that is used today. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is adopt it out.
Yes.
Or leave frozen till.
And what would happen to eggs that are just left frozen and never?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. Like,
some point, is there going to be space? But like ours were there for 20 years and we never heard a peep. So I think it's got to be. I mean, obviously, it's tiny. I can see money driven in this business. We'll find room to store these. We don't care. Yeah. But look at all those lives that are just on pause. And we're guilty of it. We did it for 20 years.
Jen, talk just for a second, because I know some listeners might be in this situation where they have, you know, frozen embryos and they're just kind of still waiting. Mm. What just the adoption option? We've had other couples that whenever, as a pastor, whenever couples come to me and say, what do you think about IVF? I've always said, biblically, that is a life. We believe life begins at conception. We're pro-lifers.
Yeah.
If you're a Christian, I think a biblical Christian, you have to be a pro-lifer.
Yes.
So we have to be consistent then, which is why this whole Alabama thing came up and Alibeth, we talked about that podcast you listened to. Yeah. I think it's important that we're consistent as followers of Jesus. So that's what I've always said to couples.
Yeah.
I do think the game has changed now, where now that there's genetic testing, and now I think 20 years ago, there, I don't think there was that stuff.
No.
But now it's like, it's even the industry is such a big money industry. You're not going to probably get biblical counsel from your doctor. I think everyone needs to hear that.
Yes.
You're not. It's true. Very rare that you'd get biblical counsel from your doctor on anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But certainly not on this.
Yes.
Right.
And so I think you really, as a pastor, and I would encourage pastors, elders, parents to really like bring this message to your couples in this situation, even before they do it. I think the biggest thing is to make sure that you're not just plugging your ears and saying, "What I want this, you know, Jen, this was your, we want this, right?
Yep.
Ask these questions. So to me, then one of the questions you really need to wrestle with before you do it is, what was it, what would it be like emotionally to adopt out embryos? So Jen, maybe you can speak to that, because that is just a, such a strange thing to think you could have your kids.
Yeah.
Could have siblings somewhere in the world that they'll never know about.
Yes,
yeah, that's true.
Now, it's cool because we have very close friends that did this. Their daughter is 16 now, and they had walked the infertility route, ended up having IVF twins, and then had their other little baby. And then they said, you know what, we're not done, but we can't do in vitro again. And we learned about this organization, nightlight.org, through them, and they shipped the embryos from California to Indiana. And this little beautiful baby girl is now 15 or 16, and her name's Callie. Wow. They all decided, hey, she came from California.
That's cute.
So we've seen that side of it, how beautiful that was. But my heart and mine go back to the mother that she was at our in our situation at some point and had to decide, what am I going to do? I love that she chose life.
Yeah, right.
Yes. But, and I think that had to have been, you know, obviously her and her husband's decision. Are we going to do this? We saw a story that a family had their baby or two, and they still had embryos left. And they just felt like they were done, and they adopted them out. Mm-hmm. The receiving family had the baby. They vacationed together both families.
That's
sweet.
That's awesome. You couldn't do
that. I couldn't do that. Yeah. I would be kidnapping.
You'd be like, you really that belong to me.
Yes. Don't spank her. But that's cheated. That wasn't that bad.
Kind of going back to the heart of the question, like we were at that baseball game in Phoenix. Church conference, go to this baseball game. And standing 10 feet in front of us from the back is a boy that looks like Ethan, our youngest. And I don't remember if where we were, I think we were at the part where God had started to stir our hearts, if I remember right.
You're right.
I look at you, you start crying. And I'm like, what is going on? And you're like, that's Ethan.
Wow. Like this could be our reality.
Yeah.
And this is what I had always said. I can't do it, because I could picture he and I in a restaurant or somewhere and going, do you think that baby looks like us?
What if
that one says, you know, all these things like, oh my word, oh my word.
Yeah.
And I, again, seeing it through how Jennifer would see it, not through God's lens, like I would be a mess all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, well, what if? And to see this kid, like what I'd already thought of in my head, always like just in visualizing or visualizing this kid, even his calf muscles look like Ethan. And I'm seeing this kid from the back, blonde hair and everything. And I thought, this is why I can't do this.
Yeah.
Because here's a teenage boy that would be our baby that we adopted out. I just couldn't do it. But it is a beautiful thing because then you look at our first daughter, Maya.
Yeah.
I'm sure her mother did not want to give her up. Her situation's different. China's government, very different. Why Maya was probably put up for adoption. But I do believe God would have made our hearts okay if he would have, that was his plan for us to adopt out. Adoption is beautiful.
Yes.
Us believers, we are
Which
adopted.
Is what makes your story so unique, that you have also adopted. You've enjoyed and have this beautiful daughter.
Yes.
And, but then you also just have this weird place where you're like, but could I adopt out this embryo? Okay, so that's the question, because I don't think I knew that. You still had one in the freezer. So, I mean, you're 52.
And they only do it till 54.
Yeah.
Oh, that has come.
Okay.
And then again, God stops it.
Okay, so you're like, doesn't there. Matter. Yeah.
You said, this is my thing. This has been my thing.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Okay. You just be now.
Good for you.
So, boy, that we'll have to meet up in a couple years. Seriously. And see what happens.
Yeah. Maybe
up.
There'll be an episode, a part three to this story.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So to me, I think, guys, that is why this is so, it's just such an interesting tech, modern medicine and technology brings these things mm-hmm. into play that yeah. wouldn't have happened in our parents' generation.
Right.
But that, you know, even just couples maybe listening to this, I don't know. They'd be saying, I don't know. Because you probably didn't know 20 years ago starting this, how you would feel about adopting out embryos. Right. That experience that you have at the baseball game.
Yeah.
You weren't ready for that. That just, and then all of a sudden that you have this epiphany that I couldn't do this,
yes. yep.
which is that's how you're wired and that's right. how God made you.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But a lot of, you know, and it, moms and dads in their 20s and 30s don't know themselves. Who right. knows? None of us knows ourselves.
Right, 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 right.
So to me, I think that's why it's really more like the big picture, the umbrella issue here is just like this obedience to the Lord and, mm. and this heart of like your, this is what Tracy and I were talking about with your story, your guys's obedience, you recognize, you have a conviction about life and being pro-life. You're not going to ignore that conviction. I think that's so important, but you also don't know all the answers.
Yeah.
You don't know what the future holds. So I just love your, like your steps of faith through this process and your obedience through this process. And I guess that maybe that's the best thing to speak to for young listeners or even older listeners in a similar situation to say, I think the biggest thing is your heart toward God, your willingness to obey him at whatever cost, to be obedient to him at whatever cost, but to recognize that if you go down this route, you have to say, I'm going to submit to him no matter what.
Yes.
That might mean pregnancy again in my 50s.
Yes.
It might mean being willing to adopt out. I think those are, or I guess the third option is indefinitely keeping these embryos frozen.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
I don't know if that's kind of where you guys went in your mind. Is that why the estate planning was coming in?
We were going from a will to a trust, I think. I see. And then that guy, I'm so glad he said, you realize with these embryos, what you're putting on your children.
Yes. Yeah.
No one had said that. We knew that, but we were okay with it because we didn't really have to touch it. Because it's like, we're dead at this point. We're coming to the trust.
Right.
We're dead.
But they when he said that, that was definitely convicting.
It was so convicting. Yeah. But our 18-year-old, who was the in vitro baby, when he was around 12, because we talked about this throughout his life, but we were bringing up in vitro again, and he was starting to understand more. Mm-hmm. His wheels started turning, and he said, realizing that was how he got here, he said, so if I get married one day, could my wife carry one of the embryos?
Hmm.
And we were blown away that he could even think that.
Yeah.
And we said, yes. And then I quickly said, but you have to live next door because that's my son and my grandson.
I know. That
or was daughter.
Wild.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. But we just, we had told the kids, no pressure. But if we kick the bucket, you guys are in charge. And now two of them are adults to make the decision still with that one left.
Yeah. So have you talked about that in the estate planning that they would be the guardians if something happens to you guys?
Yeah. And no pressure. You don't have to carry this embryo. Yeah.
See, again, so would that didn't come up when you went through IVF 3 years ago?
No.
And I bet you it wouldn't come up today.
No.
Because my guess is the clinics they're not going to help you think that through from a pro-life perspective.
No,
because
you might say no.
They're just looking at the near-term financial benefit to them. And,
so that's good. I think I didn't even really think about that. So really, it's from a biblical point of view.
Yeah.
You just couples hear this, right? Tell me if I'm missing something. But biblically, your options are you will implant those children, however many you end up with, those embryos. Number two, you will adopt them out.
Yeah.
Or number three, they're going to be in the will for your kids to deal with. I haven't even thought about that, but in my mind, pastorally, that's like...
That's it.
I would say I don't know if that's fair to your kids.
Not at all. And that's what this man pointed out and made us go, we thought, hey, we're fine. We don't have to make a decision. Right. We're dead.
Yeah.
But that is huge.
That's huge. Because you could be causing them to sin.
Right.
Thank essentially. You. Yes. Yes.
They're like, no. Dad, I don't have the money. You have the money to pay for this every month. Right. I don't have that kind of money.
Yeah.
So exactly. I would pastorally, this is just off the top of my head, I would say you need to go into that with those two options.
Absolutely.
Willing to be kind take of make on. A commitment to the Lord for those two options.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, to me, the thing that was so compelling about the story is what Brian just said, that it's that you guys are being obedient to a conviction and seeing it through and trusting that God will provide open the doors, close the doors. And I just think for believers today, we're just so conditioned to elevate our own thoughts and feelings and like, no, God, I know better than you. What are you talking about? I'm 52 years old. This isn't what I want. Right. But to be able to say, but God, at the beginning of this journey, I begged you for children. And you've blessed us with children in different ways. And now these are still little lives that deserve the opportunity. And so we just have to be willing and say the yes, to go from the no, to go to the yes, and trust that God will take care of all of the things that go with that. And that's, to me, what was so compelling and beautiful about your story, that what, I mean, that's what the Bible says. Jesus says, I was just reading Deuteronomy 6 this morning, just obey. Mm-hmm. Obey and trust that God will provide, and God's way is always best. Yes. Yeah. And so I just think it's beautiful. And I'm so thankful that you were willing to share the story. And who knows, like the how we got connected. Like, I just feel God's doing something with your story. Amen. And we're excited that we get to be a part of it and put it on our platform that gets out to people. And I just hope that couples just can really pause and think, like you said, just baby on the brain, baby fever, to really think and pray. God, what is it that you have for us? What are the implications for any decision that we make? Yeah. And let's make sure we're ready with an answer of what we're going to do if it ends up being in vitro and we have these frozen embryos and what that means.
Yep.
And a word to our listeners, I just really encourage you, if you know young couples or couples that could benefit from processing some of these things, share this podcast episode with them. That could be really helpful in terms of helping them process the right decision to make, the God-honoring decision to make. But Kevin and Jen, I think you guys have been a great example, and thanks for sharing your story.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening. If you haven't already, please consider rating our podcast. It's a simple way to help us reach more people. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.